You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning. I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today is Dr. Howard Campbell. Dr. Campbell is a professor and chairman of Sociology and Anthropology Department. Today, we're going to talk about narcocorridos. Howard, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you very much, Louis. I think you're a real credit to UTEP. All the years that you've given to this university have been fantastic.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Now, as far as narcocorridos, a lot of people, when they think of that, they think of, well, maybe they think positive and negative. Some may think, well, you're glorifying the cartels, the drug dealers. Other people say, well, it's a legend and it's part of Mexican history. It's something that has been around for a long time. What is your take on that? Because you've taught some classes on this before and you've studied narcocorridos.
I think your point was well taken, that narcocorridos have multiple meanings to different audiences. And so I think what you said is true, because on the one hand, narcocorridos are just chronicling what's actually going on in Mexico, the real life, whether we like it or not, the drug-related violence. But some of the narcocorridos glorify drug violence, and that's a real problem. Okay, but I would want to back up and first start and talk about the traditional corrido in Mexico. I think most of our audience will be familiar with corridos, which is a tradition of hundreds of years of musical production in Mexico and along both sides of the U.S.-Mexico border. Corridos are an ancient tradition that goes back to the Iberian Peninsula, so it has Spanish roots, the corrido does, and to some extent perhaps Arab roots, but taken on Mexican form. And the content of the corridos is the life of the people of Mexico, especially their struggles, the Mexican Revolution, local political fights and incidents of conflict in villages and cities, love, death, all the problems that people live in their lives are chronicled in the corrido, which is a ballad about the human experience. Now, narcocorridos are a subgenre of corridos, and they began roughly about 40 years ago as the drug trade started to expand in Mexico. The singers of corridos, traditional corridos, started to sing about drug smuggling. They also sang about immigration from Mexico to the United States, illegal immigration or undocumented immigration or whatever you want to call it. So corridos are kind of the people's tribunal about the problems of the average person of Mexico. And as the drug trade began to boom, then the singers of corridos started to composed narco-corridos about specific drug cartels, about specific smugglers, about mythical figures in the drug trade, stories that people just invented, but also in some cases, leaders of drug trafficking groups paid singers of corridos to compose songs, narco-corridos, about them to celebrate their exploits and to celebrate their cartel. In the last 10 years, though, unfortunately, the narco-corridos have been profoundly changed by the extreme level of violence which has occurred in Mexico as different cartels struggle to control various parts of the country and various trafficking routes along the border. About 100,000 people have died in Mexico in the last 10 years in drug-related violence. And that violence involves cartels fighting with each other, cartels fighting with the government, fighting with the military, fighting with the police, and also violent struggles within the cartels and within the various police forces that have been corrupted in some cases by the drug trafficking money. So narcocorridos have chronicled all of these events, and in some cases the narcocorridos have actually celebrated leaders of the drug cartels such as El Chapo Guzman or Amado Carrillo Fuentes or Alfredo Beltran Leyva. So we can't say that narcocorridos are simply just a musical form just for fun and for dancing. In some cases, they are actually the mouthpiece of specific drug trafficking groups or their leaders.
How do the drug dealers or the members of the cartel feel about these? Is there something that perhaps the band leaders, the people who sing these, have something to fear about because they're singing about these people?
Well, as I say, the narcocorrido is a very complex phenomenon, and some of the singers are people that are actually living in Los Angeles and grew up in California and have never been around drug traffickers or the drug trade, and they just sing this as a musical form, and they kind of pretend that they're part of that drug trafficking world, but they're not. But essentially, they're creating this commercial consumer product that's very much like Hollywood movies about the drug trade. They do it to make a name for themselves. They do it because they like the music or whatever. But within Mexico itself, you have people that are musicians that live in areas controlled by drug traffickers, and they are often pressured into singing songs in praise of a specific cartel or members of a cartel. In other cases, as singers of narco-corrido groups become more popular and famous and wealthy, they like to hang out and socialize with big drug traffickers who live a wild lifestyle with huge elaborate parties and all kinds of prostitutes and drugs and alcohol and excitement. So in some cases, the narco-corrido singers are actually directly part of the world they're singing about. So we need to understand that in general, narco-corridos are just fun, danceable musical forms along the lines of the traditional corrido. They appeal to a mass audience, to the people. They tell the stories about life in Mexico and along the border, and they're relatively innocent. But there is this sort of 5% perhaps of the narco corrido songs and the people that are singing them of people that are deeply involved in the drug trade in one way or another, or else they hang out with those that are in control of the drug trade.
And as you mentioned, corridos have been around for a long time, and in some instances, they're not even about people. They're about horses. There's El Corrido del Caballo Blanco, El Jinete, about the rider who's riding in his horse is lame. He's been shot. And back to the Old West, as you and I were talking before, the Ballad of Jesse James, Billy the Kid, and then later on, Merle Haggard, the legend of Bonnie and Clyde. So it's something that's been around for a long time.
Right. I think you could say that something equivalent to narco corridos exists in all countries. In all countries, you have music that talks about the everyday life and the struggles of the people and what most interests them. Corridos especially have been important in northern Mexico and ranching and agricultural country. So many times the songs are about horses or about the life of a farmer or a rancher. But also on the border, of course, we have smuggling and people crossing the border and having trouble with the border patrol and what have you. And so naturally the corridos discuss those kinds of issues. And typically a corrido or a narco corrido has a protagonist, a hero. And if you're talking about narco corridos, songs about drug trafficking, well, the hero is likely to be a drug trafficker. Now, one could say, oh, this is a horrible thing because drug traffickers are criminals and so on. But the average person who works for a drug cartel is just a working class person trying to make a little bit of money to pay for his family, to get enough to eat, to pay his house payment or whatever. And so these are people that don't necessarily believe in what a drug trafficking organization is about. They don't partake of killings, but they smuggle drugs into the United States just to survive. So some of the narco corrido songs are about what it's like to be caught in this tremendous, terrible existential dilemma of breaking the law in Mexico, breaking the law in the United States, but doing it because a person has few economic options. And so I think if we understand the narco corrido as this complicated phenomenon, one which just simply describes what's going on in Mexico on the border in the United States when it comes to the lifestyles and problems of people in the drug trafficking world, then we can understand the issue. And we can understand that some of the people that play narco corrido songs, that sing them, that listen to them, are drug cartel members, and sometimes they're the people responsible for the killings in Mexico. So we can't just completely say this is an absolutely just fun, innocent phenomenon. It's multi-sided.
Sometimes issues are brought up, and like with the Civil War, John Brown's body was later, Juliet Howe changed the words to make it into the Battle Hymn of the Republic. And the fact that throughout history, we've had songs telling stories. Do you think that people who listen to the narco-corridos pay attention to the words, or some of them just enjoy it and listen and to dance, or both?
I think it's definitely both. I remember as a kid listening to rock music, I never understood the lyrics. I liked the sound. I liked what it symbolized. But oftentimes I could not put together what the lyrics were. I couldn't hear them clearly. Now, it's a little different, though, with corridos and narco corridos, because usually the singing is very prominent in the music, and you can hear the lyrics, and they're quite accessible on the internet and what have you. So often today, people know what the songs are about and what they're referring to. But as I say, many people go to narco corrido concerts in the United States or Mexico or listen to this music strictly as a musical aesthetic phenomenon or as music to party to or to dance to. And even though it's about criminal behavior, they either look at it as a kind of Robin Hood behavior of social bandits or outlaws that become heroes like Bonnie and Clyde, or they consider it something that's separate from their own lives, that they can have some fun with pretending to be an outlaw, but they don't necessarily think what drug trafficking groups do is good. So I think that narcocorridos probably have been unnecessarily criticized to the point where the Mexican government, various branches of it, have tried to ban the playing of narcocorridos on the radio or concerts of narcocorrido singers all over the country. But typically, when governments try to ban any kind of art or musical form, they fail because the people want to hear these things, and it's impossible to completely wipe it out. And once you make an effort to ban art or music, you draw attention to it, it becomes more controversial, it actually grows in stature, and I think that's what happened with narcocorridos.
I know you as a professor, you've studied this before, and you've studied drug trafficking and cartels, and there are other professors who have written books about narcocorridos, and there are documentaries, as you and I were talking about, and YouTube videos that people can download. What exactly are these professors looking at when they're studying and doing research on the narcocorridos and those who have written books about it?
I guess to begin with, I would say that the best book ever written about narcocorridos was written by a man named Elijah Wald. Elijah Wald is a musician himself. He's traveled around the world as a busker, playing on the streets in the cities of Europe and Asia. He studied blues music in Mississippi. But about 15 years ago, he wrote this wonderful book called Narcocorrido, which is based on his travels in Mexico and interviewing singers of traditional corridos and of narcocorridos. This was before the tremendous drug war broke out in Mexico about 10 years ago. So the book Narcocorrido by Elijah Wald was very prescient in this regard. And I think it gets to the heart of the matter about the rootedness of the corrido tradition in Mexico, and especially northern Mexico, and how drugs were just one small part of the corrido tradition, and that this expanded as the drug trade expanded. Elijah Wald actually spoke at UTEP about 15 years ago when his book came out. And so I would recommend to the listeners that they start with that book if they want to understand the phenomenon of narcocorridos. There's also a number of professors studying various angles on the narcocorridos. There's an excellent documentary called Narcocultura, which I think probably some of the listeners have already seen. I haven't seen it yet. I've seen just bits of it. But that focuses on a singer called El Comander, who's the leader of a group called El Movimiento Alterado, which is the most extreme version of narcocorridos that comes out of Sinaloa. And it, in fact, glorifies drug-related violence and drug abuse and sort of sexual excess and rampant partying and wearing fancy clothes and all the consumer items of the drug trade, gold jewelry, trucks, gold-plated AK-47s. In some ways, the worst face of narcocorridos, because it's just like the worst aspects of gangster rap. It celebrates materialism and violence and misogyny. But I don't think we should use one brush to paint narcocorridos. That's just one trend within that genre of music. Plus, I don't know we should necessarily take it literally, because a lot of these songs and this music is being created by people that want to make money, and they know it's successful if it's controversial and racy and sexual and so on.
Is this music readily available?
Yes, you can buy this music probably in Walmart. It's been sold in the United States for at least 20 years. The first big narcocorrido singer was, in fact, Chalino Sanchez, who's a very interesting case because he was a farm worker from the state of Sinaloa who grew up around drug growers, people that grew marijuana and grew opium poppies. And then he came to L.A. and he worked in factories in the fields and so on. But he was actually had a terrible voice. It was sort of like Bob Dylan didn't have the greatest voice, even though he was one of the best musicians of all time. And Chalino Sanchez was like that. His voice wasn't so good, but somehow he had a lot of soul, and the emotion that came out in his songs was remarkable. And so he would sing these narcocorridos, songs about the drug trade, and he knew the people. He lived around them. He knew them personally. And he created a following in Los Angeles. He used to sell, he made cassettes of his songs of narcocorridos and sold them from the back of his car at swap meets. Eventually, he took on popularity. He started to have concerts in the L.A. area. He would dress up like a drug trafficker, sort of the outfit of the old-fashioned Mexican narco, with a big, huge cowboy hat and belt buckle and boots and jeans and so on. And Chalino Sanchez was the real thing. He used to carry a gun, and there was a concert in Riverside, California, in which he was challenged by someone who had some grievance against him. The person shot at Chalino Sanchez and wounded Chalino. Chalino shot back. That was in the early 90s. Chalino's fame grew. He was the one that really started the modern narco-corrido phenomenon. Unfortunately, though, he went down to Sinaloa to give a concert, and after the concert, he was murdered. And we don't know exactly who did this, but the assumption is that he offended powerful drug lords in Mexico.
Dr. Campbell, thank you very much for being with us here today. We've been visiting with Dr. Howard Campbell. Dr. Campbell is a professor and the chairman of the Sociology and Anthropology Department. We've been talking about narcocorridos. As he mentioned, if you want to look more into this, Elijah Wall's book, Narcocorrido, is one of the books that he recommends, and I'm sure that you can find it on Amazon, on anywhere that you can look on the Internet. Dr. Campbell, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you very much, Louis.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Norma Martinez. Our producer is Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sainz.